This is Fresh Air. I'm Marty Moss Cohen. For most of his adult life, Marvin Lieben has been a leading strategist and fundraiser for the Republican Party. He was a founder of several conservative groups, including the American Conservative Union and Young Americans for Freedom. During all that time, Lieben was also living a closeted life as a gay man. 2 years ago, at the age of 67, Lieben announced he was homosexual in an open letter to his friend and fellow conservative, William Buckley, which was published in the National Review. Now Lieben has written a book about his life called Coming Out Conservative. Just as Lieben's book began to hit the stores this week, gay Republicans found themselves under attack at their party's convention in Houston. The Republican platform opposes same-sex marriages and gays in the military. And from the podium, Pat Buchanan said that gay rights is not the kind of change we can tolerate in a nation that we still call God's country. Lieben is part of a group of small and vocal gay Republicans called the Log Cabin Federation that has chosen to stay with their party to work for gay rights from the inside. I asked Marvin Lieben for his impressions of the Republican convention.
Well, this one is built on hatred of other Americans. The other ones was hatred of communism abroad. This is much closer to home. And this is, I really find, you know, in Pat Buchanan's speech, naked bigotry. You know, and it was ugly and mean and terrible. And it's part of the Republican Party can't escape Pat Buchanan. There are too many Buchananites around. And until the president says, I disavow Pat Buchanan, everything he stands for, will the party be saved? But I don't see him doing that.
When you hear the phrase family values, which was certainly expressed in many different ways at the convention, is that a shorthand way for being anti-gay?
Well, it's a shorthand way for being bigoted. Anti-gay is part of it. Family values to me and to any American who's been brought up in my generation means tolerance, love, and acceptance of different people. These people, under family values, are preaching intolerance and hatred. It's not family values at all. It's a code word not only against gays and lesbians, but against anybody different than the white Christian minority of the Republican Party today.
How do you interpret what Patrick Buchanan and others have said, including Vice President Quayle, that there's a cultural elite that has a kind of stranglehold on the culture, that there's a cultural war going on?
Well, what they mean by cultural elite, I'm not sure that Dan Quayle means it because I don't think he's sophisticated enough. But cultural elite is another code word for Jews. The Jews run Hollywood. And most Jews are homosexuals anyway, to say. That's what they mean by the cultural elite. It's another code word. And if they mean by the cultural elite the modern free-thinking Americans, that's what they are. Their elite is the Ozzie and Harriet Show, or Father Knows Best. That's the kind of TV they like. But the world just ain't that way anymore.
Not every president follows the letter of their party platform, and Patrick Buchanan was defeated by voters in his bid for the presidency. Did President Bush and Barbara Bush make you feel any more welcome in the party?
No, they emphasize the hypocrisy of the party now, to the best of my knowledge. They made nice while the thugs went out and did the real work of the party. They represent the Republican Party. The platform is presumably the basis of the Republican Party today. And the president, if he doesn't follow the platform or if doesn't even read it, he's a hypocrite.
If you could have helped to write the Republican Party platform, what would you have included?
You mean on the words of gays and lesbians?
Yes.
Pretty much what the Democrat platform said. Either I wouldn't have included it at all, or I would have said that we are against discrimination against any group of Americans, no matter what they are.
Do you feel that you're at war with the religious right over the Republican Party, over the future and direction of the party?
Oh, absolutely. The I'm a Republican, and I'm a Republican because, one, because I've been a Republican for a long time, and I helped the Republican Party for almost four decades. I worked on the Goldwater draft movement, the Goldwater election, right along on just everything. I've suffered the defeats of the Republican Party and enjoyed the triumphs of the Republican Party. So it's my party. The religious right has taken over the social agenda of the Republican Party today. It is my duty, I think, to fight for the party and for the soul of the party. But more important, I feel it's vitally important for gays and lesbians to be in the Republican Party as an open presence. Why? We're a two-party system. We're represented in the Democrat Party. We are not at all visible in the Republican Party. If we're ever to achieve anything, we have to be in both parties.
You're part of an organization called the Log Cabin Federation.
Yes.
And this is a Republican organization made up of homosexuals. What kinds of positions does the Log Cabin Party espouse?
Well, what we fight for is, again, equal rights for gays and lesbians in the country, but particularly in the Republican Party. And what we did at our convention just last weekend, the weekend before the regular Republican convention started in Houston, is we agreed not to endorse the Bush-Quayle ticket, which is unheard of for a Republican organization.
At the convention, there were a number of demonstrations outside of the Astrodome. First of all, what were the issues that that were being discussed, and how effective do you think those demonstrations were?
Well, we were not involved in demonstrations because we're Republicans, which means we're button-down collar, Gucci loafer Republicans like everybody else.
That means you don't demonstrate?
No.
Okay.
But the demonstrations, which were effective, were run by the National Gay and Lesbian Task Force, ACT UP, Queer Nation, and all those groups. Now, the gay community is an organization now and is a cause. And like all causes, you have, like in the civil rights cause, you had Martin Luther King, which was sort of the very centrist thing. And then you had the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee and many other groups. And so in the gay community, you have your centrist group, but then you have your terrorists. And I don't use that in a pejorative word meaning at all. These are the guys that go out and demonstrate and focus attention on the thing, make noise, are vulgar, are terrible, but they're very meaningful.
Well,
they're the people who did it in Houston.
Well, do you find that the more activist and gay organizations are helpful to you in your cause for gay rights?
Yes, I think everybody's helpful. Any attention that's paid is helpful. Because of them, from the Stonewall riot, which was almost 25 years ago, gays weren't an issue. Gays are now, every day you open the paper, you see gays and lesbians and articles about them, and it's talked about. This came because people acted.
Some people believe that a gay Republican is really a contradiction in terms. How do you answer them?
I answer with great difficulty.
Is it getting harder and harder to answer?
Yeah, very much so. And I just go back to the fact that I think it is vital and important for gay people to be in the Republican Party because we're a two-party system and we have to be represented in both parties. Just as gay people are in everything, the catchphrase is we are everywhere, we are everywhere. But we have to be everywhere as open people.
But being that the party is not hospitable to gays and lesbians, why do you continue to call yourself a Republican?
Well, because I want to make it more hospitable to gays and lesbians. And I think it's very well within the realm of possibility. If George Bush, if the ticket goes down to defeat in November, which is very well within the realm of possibility, then there are a lot of pieces to be picked up. And you have good Republicans like Governor William Weld of Massachusetts, who I would say would be the best sort of Republican candidate for president in 1996.
If Bush and Quayle do win the presidency, what will happen to this issue of homosexuality?
Oh, I think the gay and lesbian community will be under dire attack. I think there are things in the state of Oregon and Colorado to get rid of all laws which protect gays and lesbians and to forbid any new laws. I think that'll go all over the country. The religious right will hold sway. I'm very frightened of that.
I was reading about your organization, the Log Cabin Club, and gays in the Democratic Party have called you, not you personally, but gay Republican self-loathers, or even Uncle Toms. I'm sure you've heard that.
Yeah. Well, I heard it from Barney Frank himself, who said, "Hi, Marvin Liebman from the Uncle Tom Cabin Club."
Well, what do you make of that?
Well, it's a mark of ignorance and stupidity, because the leaders of our community, of the gay and lesbian community, have to understand that we have to be in the Republican Party. We have to fight our way in the Republican Party, whether they want us or not. And instead of condemning us, they should applaud us. We can differ tremendously on all sorts of issues, but not on the fact that gays and lesbians have to be represented in the Republican Party. And it's stupid of them to condemn us for that.
What would get you to leave the Republican Party?
Nothing.
Really?
Yeah, on account of, again, I'm an old guy now, and I'm prepared to make the sacrifice to stay in the Republican Party just to maintain a gay presence there. So we're not invisible men and women.
I'm speaking with Marvin Liebman, and he's one of the leading voices in the American conservative movement. He helped to found Americans for Conservative Action, the American Conservation Union, Young Americans for Freedom, the Committee of 1 Million. He's the author of a new book called Coming Out Conservative, and he did come out 2 years ago. The book is about his life, about his beliefs in conservative politics, and about his thoughts on the conservative movement today. We're going to take a short break. This is Fresh Air. I'm speaking with Marvin Liebman, and he's the author of a new book called Coming Out Conservative. You did come out 2 years ago after certainly very long association with the party. What was the reaction from friends of yours in the Republican Party when you did come out?
Well, all my friends, I came out publicly because I thought it was the thing to do, because I thought I could do some good. I came out in 1990 because of the rise of homophobia in the Republican Party and the so-called conservative movement. Before that, the gay issue wasn't an issue. The anti-communist issue was. And I thought I could do something by coming out. The main reason I came out was for me, because I was in the closet for 67 years, and I was stifling. Now I feel liberated and free.
What were your fears about coming out?
I had no fears, really. Over the years?
Mm-hmm.
To be loathed and despised by my friends and the straight community. I had the fears that I grew up with. But I realized, thanks to the work of so many people, I needn't be afraid anymore. And so I came out, and the instant, but I mean literally the instant that I came out publicly, that I articulated the fact that I was gay, that's important. People are gay and live gay lives, but don't articulate it publicly. There are so many leading members of the American community in every field of endeavor that their friends know they're gay, they just don't say it. It's important to say it openly, and that was important to me.
And were your fears confirmed?
Well, my conservative friends was startled that I decided to articulate it, and I haven't been really close to a lot of them, except my friend William F. Buckley, who was my friend and continues to be my friend, but no question whatsoever.
You talk about in your book a conversation, actually it's you and William Buckley and Ronald Reagan sitting around a table together.
Yeah.
And Ronald Reagan mentions a concern he has about his son.
Yeah, well, that was the Thanksgiving weekend, I guess, of 1976. And I was spending the weekend with Ronald and Nancy Reagan, this young son, Ron, who was a student at Yale. and Bill and Pat Buckley and their son Christopher. And we'd have our Thanksgiving dinner. This was a Saturday night. And Mrs. Reagan and Mrs. Nancy and Pat had gone off to bed. And I was standing in the kitchen with then Governor Reagan, he was called, and Bill. And we were just talking. And Reagan was at his very best. He's one of the most charming, funny men in the world. And he had us in stitches. He was just telling one story after the other. And then he turned serious. And he said, you know, I've gotten some disquieting news from young Ron. What? Said Bill. He's decided to quit Yale. Quit Yale, said Bill. Nobody ever quits Yale. You know, Bill is the consummate Yalie of all times. He said, yes, he wants to become a dancer. A dancer? Said Bill. And then he turned to me, Reagan, and he said, somehow, there's something in the gay community called gaydar, similar to radar. And we emit rays. But he turned to me, the president, and said, aren't dancers sort of funny? And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, you know, funny. Reagan didn't want to say the word gay, or he might not have even known that word. And so he was a troubled man talking about his son. I said, no, they aren't all funny. And I talked about Baryshnikov and, you know, and the dancers who were great womanizers and lovers of women. And his own friends, Gene Kelly and Fred Astaire, and that seemed to calm him. And he went upstairs to tell Mommy, as he called Mrs. Reagan, that all was all right. But at that moment, I felt so sad that I couldn't tell him that I was funny, too.
You seem to be saying that even though you lived a closeted life until 2 years ago, that people assumed you were gay, but they just didn't talk about it.
Exactly. You know, you'd have to be an idiot to have been a good friend of mine. But they didn't say the word. It's, what was it, Oscar Wilde said, it dare not be spoken.
Yeah.
You just, it wasn't articulated. And in the crowd that the Buckleys run around with, and that I was very privileged to be with, the rich and famous and celebrated, gentlemen don't discuss their plumbing in public. That's the word.
You describe, as a young man leading a double life, you were a member of the Young Communist League, and you describe at the same time as you were a member of the League going to what you say is seedy movie houses on 42nd Street and having, again, as you describe, amorous encounters with strangers. How easy was it for you to lead a double life?
It was difficult, but I did it because the hormones were dictating what I was doing. And It was most unsatisfying, this sort of seedy. I was ashamed of it. That's why I was ashamed of myself each time I had an encounter. And unfortunately, or fortunately, depending how you look at it, there were a lot of them. I felt sort of dirty and unclean. And it was, you know, I just hated it. But I did it because my hormones were dictating my life at that time, as most young men and women.
How did you go from having an allegiance to communism to conservatism?
Well, during the 30s, I was a good kid and brought up in a middle-class Jewish home. And the only way at that time that I knew of to be for the good things like love, like not hating Negroes, caring about working people. This was the time of the strikes and so forth. Hating discrimination and unemployment, all that sort of stuff, and the Depression, was in the far left. There was no other way of doing it. And so I joined the Young Communist League, and I became a Marxist and believed it totally and completely. And I stayed there. Although I quit the Communist Party in 1944, I stayed a progressive, worked on the Henry Wallace campaign and with the Hollywood 10, etc., until I met a woman named Eleanor Lipper in 1951. And it's too long a story to go into now, but basically she was a woman who spent 11 years in the Soviet gulag, in the prison camps, and was let out after the war. And she said to me, "Why do you believe in all this?" And I said, "Because I believe basically in peace on earth, goodwill to men, and everybody should be brothers, and workers should get a share of what they earn, and all that sort of stuff." She said, "Well, I believe that too, but the Soviet Union is the antithesis of all this. It's the most evil system in the world."
So she got you to change your mind.
Yeah, it wasn't overnight, but she was the one who articulated it for me. And so I became an anti-communist. Again, not overnight. And it was my anti-communism that got me involved in the Republican Party and the conservative movement.
You're a firm believer in the importance or the supremacy of the individual over any state or political
yes.
party or religious hierarchy. And
yes.
and as you write about conservatism, you see privacy as really the cornerstone. Where is this philosophy today, this conservative philosophy that you and Buckley helped to found?
I think it's still around and it's still important. But it's sure not practiced in any area that I know of now. I don't think there's any philosophy, so far as I'm concerned, because I've always been an activist. And I was known sort of, in the Marxist term, as an agit-prop person, which means agitation and propaganda. I've always been a political activist. And philosophies without a political base are rather useless. So the conservative philosophy, I don't see any political base for it now, although it's still very strong and exists. But until we get a political base for it again, it'll be useless.
Well, do you see yourself starting to build a political base to bring the party back to this conservative idea?
I'm going to be 70 next year. I don't know how much time I have left, but I'll sure do my best if anybody wants me.
Well, but do you see others in the party
yes.
that also believe as you do?
Oh, absolutely. Sure I do. When and this will happen, I don't know. But the more the state takes over, the more young people will decide they don't like the state taking over and will go back to the basic tenets of conservatism, which is the supremacy of the individual over the state.
Marvin Lieben, thank you very much for joining us today on Fresh Air.
Thank you very much.
Marvin Liebman's book is called Coming Out Conservative. I'm Marty Moss-Cohen, and this is Fresh Air.